That was wonderful. Thank you. God bless. I do want to just start by thanking my brother Tom for allowing me the privilege to teach God's word to you tonight. And I am really thankful for the things that God is showing us and teaching us, because he doesn't want us to live a life in bondage anymore. And we're going to be looking at today's World Day. And we're going to be looking at how we deal with this world, because he doesn't want us to live in bondage to it. I'm going to start by praying, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, and I thank you for your grace and your mercy, that you have the ability to open up our eyes to your truth, and that you desire that to happen. I thank you, Father, for just your continual reminder of your love and care for us, and that you have set us free in your Son, and that you're going to help us walk that way in this life. Thank you for a great night of understanding your truth, Father. And I just lift this to you and the rest of our camp and the children's camp as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, so we are going to go ahead and do a little bit of a review. But first, you know, like was talked about this morning, the world we live in is a lie. It is a pretty show that is put up. What it offers is pretty and shiny at times and might allure our flesh. It tries to allure our flesh. But what it truly offers is death. The world we live in is evil. It's set up to entice the lust of my flesh. And it is set up to take my heart away from the God who loves me. And it is run by the devil. And it's his desire. If he cannot prevent me from being saved, he will try and prevent me from coming to a knowledge of the truth and living out the life that I've been given in Christ Jesus. The devil wants me to be dull. He wants me lifeless. He wants me to live a life separated from the knowledge of God in Christ. He wants me to live like I used to. So, in light of this, you know, being in this world, what we're looking at, again, is how do I live in this world without having a choked heart? You know, one where the word of God is growing in my heart, but these things of the world are growing up with it. How do I have a heart where the word of God can flourish and bear fruit? What we're going to do here first is a little bit of a review through the scriptures. So you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And I think after this morning, if you had your ears open, you would say, yeah, I really want that now. Right? In Ephesians 2, actually, let's start in verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." This was speaking of us. This was speaking of how we lived our life. Like was talked about earlier, every single human being born into the world is, this is their state. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, all had the way in which we lived in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The order of this world, you know, the course of this world, the age that we live in, we talked about that this morning. The order of it is set up by our adversary, the devil, and it is set up to entice the lusts of our flesh so that we live according to our flesh. Go ahead and turn again to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, and then we're going to read this same verse again. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Again, this world that we live in is characterized by the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We live in a world that is according to and driven to the lusts of the flesh, to bring those things out. Go to Galatians chapter 1. But we have some good, good news. Those things are true. This is the world we live in. Galatians chapter 1 in verse 3. It says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It was our God's will and his purpose and his desire to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, I know the fullness of this is yet to come. We are still here, correct? Yes. But we have received some deliverance from this already in Jesus Christ our Lord, because he gave himself for our sins in order for this to happen. We have received some of this salvation already, correct? That's right. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We looked at this verse yesterday. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Because of Christ, Jesus Christ, delivering work on the cross, this verse is true to every single person, for every single person who's believed on Jesus Christ. It says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Like Stephanie brought up yesterday, if you've believed on Jesus Christ, you are no longer bound to walk by your flesh. And this is some pretty strong language here, like she pointed out. It said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Oh, it's the magnitude of the work on the cross that did this. As soon as I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am no longer in bondage to live by my flesh. I am free from having to live according to the course of this world. I no longer have to live by that anymore, because I no longer am bound by flesh. I can choose to walk by the Spirit. You know, the devil is like that puppet master in this world, right? You know, the puppets where they have the little wooden things and the strings and the puppets at the bottom. And then people in the world just kind of go along with the course of this world, which is set up by the devil. And they are, that's because all that they have to walk in is their flesh. They're bound by it. Well, in Christ, those have been clipped. You are no longer bound by that any longer. I have a choice. I am free. I am free to live in a different way. In Christ, those strings are no longer connected to me. I no longer have to walk by my flesh. I do not have to live my life according to the course of this world anymore. That is some good news. Mm-hmm. The course that I am free to walk is according to a heavenly spiritual one. And one that is lived out by the power of what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Like we talked about, like Josh talked about last night. There is power in what Christ accomplished for us. So, I'm a part of this Remember how Tom had mentioned, or he didn't mention, he taught us that, you know, in this world, there's two different kingdoms going on. The one that we are a part of now is one that is of God and of Jesus Christ. Do you want to look at this a little bit? You want to see what it looks like? I do. We're going to go there. All right, so go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The context is our Father who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that word translated just means transferred. You're in this kingdom, bloop, you're in another moment of time. All you did was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what he accomplished for you. You are now a part of a different kingdom, a part of a different system. Go to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 20, it says, for our conversation, our conversation is the word for citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like was talked about this morning, we are now citizens of heaven, a part of a different kingdom, have the choice to walk by in a spiritual way in this world because we are still here, correct? Who wants us here? God does. Yeah. In fact, Jesus Christ even prays about that in John 17. He says, I pray for those guys. And we looked at that too today, right? We are here for a purpose. We are not forgotten ones. We are not an afterthought. We are ones, citizens of heaven, in this world, right now, in the devil's territory, kingdom, in his kingdom, right? In this world. But we are not of his anymore. We're part of a different one, a different system. So as a citizen of heaven, what does this reality look like? What does it mean in my life that I am a citizen of heaven, that I am in something totally different, in this different kingdom? We're just going to look at this briefly. This is a pretty large topic. Go to Romans 14. Verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. This is of Paul speaking here to the church in Corinthians, or church in Corinth. And he said here, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We are in a powerful kingdom. And we've been given power, haven't we? Go to, again, James chapter 3. In verse 17, mankind has always had access to God's wisdom. We, as his children, really, really do. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. We have God's word, and we are able to understand it fully now too, in a much fuller way, because of the Spirit God has given us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, just from these few little snippets, we are part of something that's not chaotic. It's not, there's peace there. There's righteousness and joy. There's power. And we've been given the Spirit, not of this world, but of God, to understand the things that are freely given to us so that we can understand what he brought us into. So as one who is brought into this, I have, this is kind of the, like an idea of what the kingdom of God is like. It's good, right? Would you say this is good? Compared to what we've learned about with the world and the flesh and the devil? Yeah, this is good. This is now my reality. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, we are no more wandering around in this world, homeless, helpless, without God. We are of his family. We are in his household. I no longer have to scrounge like one of this world scrounges around trying to provide for myself. I'm of his kingdom now. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. As one who is a citizen of heaven, God says in verse 419 of Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is the one who provides for me. And this provision may not look like the razzle-dazzle of the world, like we might be eating mac and cheese, but you know, like Paul, if you read the context, he was in prison. He was living his life for his Lord. He was one who was not entangled with the things of this world. He was living out his calling in Christ Jesus. But, you know, he was in prison, but you know what? God's word is still true. Just like we've been talking about, I have got to have this word in me, and I've got to put this word on no matter what my circumstances might be, because my circumstances do not, my circumstances are no bearing in the truth. God's word is the truth. Paul was in a situation where he was in prison and people delivered some food to him. But you know what? He said he knew God was going to come through for him, whether it was them bringing it to him or not. He's like, you know, that's, God is going to bless this to your account, and I'm thankful for that. But my God shall supply all my need, or your need, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We can have confidence, can't we? Go to Philippians 4. In verse 6. Be anxious, or be careful for nothing. That word careful is the word for anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I no longer have to be filled with the cares and anxieties of this world. My Heavenly Father tells me that I'm to give those things to Him. As one who's a part of this different system, the system of the world works by you carrying your burdens, you carrying your cares, you figuring it out. God says, I want to figure it out. I can do that. You're my kid. Let me do this for you. And guess what? You can have peace so that you're not running around trying to find your answers everywhere. So that you can do the will of God. So you don't have to be burdened and encumbered and entangled. That's what it looks like to be a citizen of heaven in this world. Go to Colossians 2. Verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. I've been given Christ. That fills me full. I'm no longer empty. I no longer have to try and satisfy myself with other means like the people of the world do. Christ can satisfy me. I'm filled full with Him. Go to John 17. In verse 20, it says, I mentioned this earlier, neither pray I for these alone, but also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may all be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Man, do I need to have my own glory? Do I need to find something to boast in that's worthless? No, I don't. I have Christ's glory. And there's more of that coming. Right now we bear His name. Right? But it says in Romans chapter 8 that we will share in His glory. Let's see. Where did I leave off? 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world might know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We have a full unity and fellowship with God and His Son Jesus Christ and together. You are never alone, ever. You no longer have to feel that way. As a citizen of heaven, God made you one in Christ. God made you one with Him. And we are one together as a body to fight for one another, to help each other. Oh my gosh, we are no longer living a vain and empty life. And as Tom brought up, God is working His purposes right now. And we are a part of that because we are one with Him as a body of Christ. He's working His purposes right now. And we have a part to play. We've each been given a ministry, right? We've each been given the ability and the authority to speak God's word here. God gave it to us. I don't have to cower in this world because I've been given authority to speak. I've been given the authority to minister that power that I've received from God that is of His kingdom. I have a purpose, and I get to live out the greatest purpose here on this earth, showing the world that God sent His Son, who is the Savior of the world. This is what a life of a citizen of heaven, a son or daughter of God, looks like. Man. We need to understand the treasure we've been given. The world pales in comparison compared to what we have been given in Jesus Christ. And we just ran through verses. You know, we just ran through some of them. If you don't want to love this world, you need to understand the treasure that you've been given in Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The thing that you treasure the most is going to be where your heart is. You know, we looked at this morning, God said, don't love the world. Don't love the world. I have to replace that love and affection for this world with something greater. Otherwise, I will never stop loving this world. God has given us something greater to love. But if I don't understand what I've been given, if I don't understand the magnitude of what God's given me in Christ, this life that I now have, that's not a dead one, that's not a pointless one, that's one where my Father loves and takes care of me, I will always be in bondage to this world because I will love it. Because it will shine and dangle and look pretty and nice. I have to get my head in God's word. I need to choose to believe God's word. I need to ask him to enlighten my eyes to the truth so that I'm no longer blinded by this world. Go to Matthew chapter 13. And as I do this, and God shows me, and he teaches me, and I understand the greatness of what I've been given, this treasure, this is what it's going to look like. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." When I understand what I've been given, nothing else matters. And it won't look shiny and pretty anymore. The world won't. Because God reveals in his word, first of all, what it actually is, a baited hook leading to death. And he also reveals the great treasure he's given me freely by grace because he loved me. He wanted to save me from this dying world that does have an end. Oh man, compared to what we've been given, all the things of this world, they pale in comparison. They're empty promises of satisfaction, happiness, and joy that don't actually result in those things. And we've been given the real deal. Satisfaction, happiness, and joy by being one with our Lord, our Heavenly Father, with each other, a part of God's kingdom. Man, if this is huge for this one, okay? If I have weeds in my heart, it is really good to consider if I love this world. And you know, like I said, I can grow and I can put on God's word. I can ask him to enlighten my eyes and he'll teach me and he'll show me. And then I can love what he's given me. I can love him more. But you know, that's not enough to stand in this world and not have weeds. Because do I just have to remember that once? No, like Stephanie talked about with it, when it comes to living our life by the Spirit and not by the flesh. This world is against you. We are here, but it hates us. And its systems are such that come back. Oh, that flesh, come on back. Because, you know, we still have that, right? Like she talked about. Now I have a choice, though. I don't have to live as one who is attached to those puppet strings, right? But the devil wants me to. So unfortunately, there's more to it than just learning, wow, God is worth all my love, all my affection. There's more to it than that, because we live in this world. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to, guess where? Anybody guess? What? I don't even have to teach this. Just kidding. Romans 12. Yep. Nothing new. Romans 12. Oh, and I was going to mention too, you know, in this, because the world constantly bombards me, like was mentioned earlier today, I have to continually, like we're going to read and we've already read, not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I have to do that no matter how long I have been in God's word and I've been learning and how, no matter how long I have treasured this kingdom and treasured my God, treasured my Lord. You can read about Demas. He's pretty sobering. Check him out. He's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. You can read about him in other places too. He was a fellow laborer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says at the end of Paul's life, Demas has forsaken, he's left me because he loved this present world. That's possible. That's possible. So that's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is so important. Romans chapter 12, 2. I said it, but we're going to read it just in case I didn't say it right. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed. That is a command, God says. Just like he said, don't love the world, he says, don't be conformed to this world. Does God know what's best for me? Yes. Does he want me here, flourishing, fruitful, Christ living in me? Yes, he does. He wants me walking in that. So he says, don't be conformed to this world. Very simple. Don't be conformed to this world. You know, the world that we live in continually bombards us with its ways, with its thinking. Start thinking, oh, maybe I should start raising my kids according to like how that book tells me to do that. Or maybe I should run a business the way that I hear everybody else in the world is doing. They look fruitful. It worked for them. Maybe it'll work for me. Constantly bombarded with, you know, I just need to work on myself a little bit. There's just, you know, what's wrong with me? I just need to work on myself. No, that's being conformed to this world, and we are constantly, constantly bombarded with it. It says, be not conformed to it, and that conforming will happen. Just like you will walk in the flesh unless you choose to walk in the spirit, you will be conformed to this world unless you choose to renew your mind. You will. It is like going on the lazy river. You know, if you put your feet up on the lazy river and you're rafting, you're going down that path. That is exactly what it's going to happen to you. And sometimes that does happen to us, and we wake up and all of a sudden it's like, crap, well, how the heck did I get down here? Well, you were conformed. You weren't watching what was going on in your mind. I am to recognize the thoughts of this world, the ways of the world, for what they are, realize what's going on between my two ears, and say, no, that is not for me. I am a citizen of heaven. My God loves me. He promises to supply all my need. I am new in Christ. All those truths about what we've been given in Jesus Christ, I got to recognize what's going on in my head. Proverbs 5:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard it. Don't be conformed to this world. Pay attention. What thoughts am I allowing to stay in my head and swirl around a bit? What am I just playing around with? What thoughts of this world am I just considering for a little while? Sometimes I notice that with myself. Huh, I'm just going to just consider that for a little bit. Yeah, you're just going down that lazy river, okay? That's, you're being conformed right there. God says, guard your heart with all diligence. You know, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? What motives do I have for standing up here and teaching? What motives do I have for praying? What are my motives for working diligently at my job? What are my motives for speaking the word? The world has ways. I don't need to go by those, but I have to pay attention. And it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I renew my mind back to what God has done for me in Christ, like I said. And as I do that, I renew my mind back to who I am, back to the truth and the reality of what God says, not how I feel, not what my senses say, obviously, because that would not be true, not what my friends say, not what my situation looks like. I renew my mind back to the word of God. And then it says, I will be transformed. And that is not something that I do to myself. That is a promise. As I renew my mind, I will be transformed. And we get tricked out of this very, very often to think that you won't be. No, if you do this God's way, he promises you will be transformed. You will no longer walk like the person of this world and look like fleshly Katie, carnal Katie. I will look and walk like heavenly Katie, spiritual Katie. But I have to choose to renew my mind. I put off the things, the thoughts of this world that I'm continually bombarded with of, no, you need to do this by your flesh, right? Those lusts of the flesh. And I say, no, I'm a spiritual being. I'm going to choose to walk by the Spirit. I'm going to believe God's word. And we can do this. We can do this. And you know, there's things that I can do to help myself with this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It teaches me, it reproves me, it corrects me, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. We can make it really, really difficult for ourselves to renew our minds and not be conformed to this world if we do not feed on the word of God. As I get sharpened by the word of God, and I feed on it, I will be able to pick out the weeds. If you do not do this, you won't be able to see them for what they are. Like we've looked at before, you know, sometimes those other doctrines, they come right along the word of God. They seem pretty similar. Sometimes the things of this world may even sound Christian. I have to know God's word to be able to discern the difference between the thoughts that are and the things and the ways in which, oh, I should do this by the flesh, or, wait, that's a fleshly thing. I'm not going to walk that way. I'm going to choose to walk by the Spirit. I have to be able to discern those, and I have to be able to see those for what they are. So I can pay attention. I have to pay attention. I also need to be sharpened by the Word of God. And what's great is that it will do that. It already says what it does. It's profitable for doctrine. It'll teach me. It'll reprove me. It'll show the dark areas, and it'll show the world for what it is. It'll correct me. It'll instruct me. You know, as I feed on God's word, as I meditate on it, I will see those weeds for what they are. I will be able to better identify it when I have the weeds growing in my heart. So I notice when I'm being conformed to this world. But you know, I also need to be continually thinking about it and continually have my eyes on what is true for me in Christ. So it's not just, you know, going to the Word of God, building that in my life and heart, but God does say specifically to continually seek something as one who is a citizen of heaven. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I am to continually set my mind on something. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, are you?
Yes.
Okay, it says to do something. Seek those things which are on earth.
No.
Nope. Which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If I'm continually looking back, you know, at this world, I'm going to start believing that I'm actually a part of it and that I need to walk according to the way everybody else does. So the Word of God can help me to be sharp with things, but I am also to continually seek Christ specifically. So, you know, because that's my life. That's my life. And that word seek is like a continual seeking in verse 1. In the NASB, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That's what I seek out. That's what I set my mind on, Christ. And you know, so these things can help me when it comes to not being conformed to the world and renewing my mind so that I can be transformed and not walk the same way that I used to, not walk according to my flesh, but I can walk according to the Spirit then, right? But there's other things that you can do to help yourself with. Consider what you surround yourself with. I know we've talked about this already, but, you know, we are in this world for a reason. It's not to hang out. It's not to play video games. It's not to, look at the feeds all the time. I can surround myself with things that make it really, really hard to stand on God's word. I can feed myself the world and its ways, its fleshly ways. In Proverbs 4:26 and 27, you can just write this down. It says, ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Obviously, this is not saying, you know, well, you can say, well, the world's evil. You just want me to get out of here? No. We are in this world. We are sent here. But am I putting myself in a situation where it is easy for these weeds to grow in my heart? Considering who I'm hanging out with, considering the things that might affect me. And with everybody, it's different, like Tom mentioned. You know, this world has, like we looked at today too, what is in it is the flesh, to entice the flesh, right? That's what it does. So maybe not everything affects your flesh the way it affects my flesh. Like chick flicks, for example. Maybe I go and I see the latest chick flick and I watch them and it's exciting and there's love and the guy gets the girl at the end and then I come home and I'm dissatisfied with my husband. Where did the love go? Why isn't my life like that? This would satisfy me. If that's my response and I am so drawn away from the things of God that, you know, we fight for in our hearts and lives, right? Because we talked about how this is simple, how we're supposed to live in this world. We put on God's word. We do not conform to this world, right? We walk in the Spirit. But I can make it really, really hard for myself if I'm continually putting something in front of me that I know, like, my flesh really, really likes and wants to walk. You know, like, bam, I take that temptation and I run with it. I can pay attention to that. And I can, you know, maybe if I do go, I really watch what goes on in my head. In fact, you should be doing this all the time. There is no off switch with being in the world where you can just coast. You will start being conformed. This is a continual process. And we can make it really, really hard for ourselves. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard enough for me to, you know, you have that same thought, like Stephanie talked about, of I'm putting on the word. And then, boop, no, that's not who you are. You should do things according to your flesh. No. And then I have to put on God's word, and then boop, it's right there. And there, it's, I have to do that. I have to watch what goes on in my mind, and I have to choose to believe what God says. I can make it really harder for myself by continually surrounding myself with those things. So, because none of us are exempt to the temptations of this world. Christ has separated us from the work on the cross, but I can still be affected by the world, and the devil wants to make sure that I am. He wants me to be in bondage. He wants me to walk according to the lust of my flesh, according to the course of this world. He knows he cannot have you, but he wants you to be fruitless. So I can really choose to think and pay attention to what I'm doing. And when I'm in certain situations, there is no coasting mode. I continually think and consider and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing my mind. You know, God has called us to such a high calling, and he's called us this freedom where we are no longer in bondage to the ways of this world. I don't have to walk that way anymore. I'm free, I'm new, and so are you. And I don't have to be deceived by thinking, wow, this world, look at that, that's so enticing, that looks better. You know, like we talked about, it appeals to the lust of the flesh, wanting to look good in the eyes of others, to be better than the other guy, to be wise and strong in this world. But we've been delivered from this present evil world. We've been seated on high in Christ Jesus the Lord. I am in a different kingdom. I am a part of a different system. I do not have to walk according to the flesh like the world does. I can walk in the Spirit. You know, God loves us. He cares for us. We need to continually put these things on because we will always be bombarded with other things. No, you have to figure this out on your own. No, you need to boast in your flesh. That will make you happy. No, you need to figure out the cares in your life. You need to provide for yourself. That's what we're continually bombarded with every day. God says otherwise, and I can help myself by putting on his word, by reading it, by watching my foot. Oh, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. put myself in that situation, spend like an hour looking at those feed things, you know, whatever it is. Because the life that we've been called to is a treasure. It's glorious. It's not worth wasting. Right? We don't have to allow this world in our hearts to choke out the Word of God. I don't have to. We can tend to our hearts. We can find, we can see those weeds for what they are. We can pull them out by renewing our minds back to the truth. Whoop, that was a thought of the world again. Nope. I'm going to put on what God says. So we can bear much fruit to the glory of our Father. I'm going to reread Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. We'll close out there. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Amen.